Father, we thank you in Jesus' name that you brought us here this morning. And Lord, thank you again for the great grace and mercy that is just so freely bestowed to us. And Lord, we're in that precious realm of grace. And Lord, I rejoice with the brethren here today where there is no law, there is no sin. Thank you, God, that you freed us. Thank you for Gethsemane. Thank you, Lord God, that he so freely died, became sin for us who knew no sin. Thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness. Oh, the forgiveness of not even remembered again. Thank you for it, Lord God. Thank you that whom he has made free is free indeed. Thank you, God, that we rejoice and give thanks and praise you for the liberty that we have in Christ. Now, Lord, help us to grow in it today. God, thank you again that you've made us free. Now in that freedom and in the power of grace, Lord, quicken the new man this morning in us. Lord, let us just rise up to thank you more, giving praise and great gratitude to you, Lord, for all that you have done. Thank you, Lord, that it is finished. Thank you, Lord, that you are going to perform the good work that you've begun in us. Lord, thank you again that we commit it to you. We have confidence in the love of God to us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'd open your Bibles today, we're going to Ephesians. We'll be in chapter 4. You might want to stick your finger in Esther chapter 2 and Proverbs 31. Praise be to God where he takes us. Hallelujah. But in Ephesians 4, actually, let's back up a little bit and begin reading from the 30th verse. Lord needs to constrain me here. We'll be back in Ephesians 1 going from there. But it says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." And here we go. We're going to concentrate on this today. "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Now, as we launch off into this morning, brothers and sisters, I believe that, and thank God it's because of the mind of Christ. I don't want us to agree on anything because we want to agree. That would be a real miss, wouldn't it? But we want to be in the unity of the Spirit, praise God. And that is that perfect mind, and that's the mind of Christ that he says, "Let this mind be in you." And here it is, that word of God, and I pray it's in your hands, and praise be to God being written more and more in your heart this morning. But I believe that we can agree that bridal saints, ones that really desire to win God and God's best, are kind and tender-hearted. Amen? Ones that really are running to win him. They are kind and tender-hearted. Amen? Amen. They're not cold. They're not condescending. They're not full of judgment. They're not cruel. They're kind and tender-hearted. And matter of fact, the Bible clearly tells us this. And it's one of the greatest attributes, this kindness between the bride and the bridegroom. I'd like you just to take a moment, turn over to Esther, as I mentioned, in chapter 2, verse 7. And there's so many references, but I think these are what the Lord highlighted in my heart this week. But in chapter 2, actually verse 9 there in Esther, this is speaking. Esther was brought to the king's house to the custody of Haggai, the keeper of the women. And see, as you study this, you'll find out that this Haggai is such a precious type of the Holy Ghost and how he ministers to ones that truly want to go after the deeper things of God. There is nothing or no one that's going to minister to you all truth except the Holy Ghost. As the word of the Lord said, and as Jesus said to his disciples, "I have many things to say unto you, but you can't understand them. You can't bear them right now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you. He will lead you. He will teach you. He will take the things of Christ and make them yours. He will guide you into all truth." And here's what this Haggai did in verse 9. "And the maiden," that's Esther, "pleased him and she obtained kindness of him. Isn't that wonderful? How do we please God? By faith, amen? Nope, it's not by all the things you thought please God. You please God one way, and that's by believing the Word of God, receiving the Word of God. Not by memorizing it, not by trying to be diligent to everything that you think you need to be diligent to, but by simply believing and receiving the Word of God. That pleases God. So obviously this maiden, the reason she pleased, praise God, the Holy Ghost, or this Haggai so much, was because she just took it. You mean the Bible says that? Well, I need that too. You mean it says that? Well, I want that too. That pleases God. Amen. It doesn't say think about getting right before you go in there. Oh, you're too dirty and rotten. Look at the things you did. It doesn't say anything about that. By faith. Matter of fact, the faith that pleases God is the faith that understands that, praise God, you don't even remember that stuff anymore. Too bad you're hung up on that, but he's not. Huh? And that pleases God. And how wonderful when it pleased this precious one that was the keeper of the women. It says, she obtained kindness of him. Now listen to what happened at that moment. And he speedily gave her her things for purification and such things as belong to her. These are things that belong to her. This was a little orphan girl. She didn't own a thing, but they belong to her. Little lords of all. You getting this stuff? You sit in here a lot. You getting it? Praise be to God. Amen. Line upon line. So here it is. And he gave her things for purification with such things as belonged to her. And seven maidens, oh my goodness, what perfection, which were meet to be given her out of the king's house. And he preferred her and her maids unto the best place of the house of the women. Now that's kindness. Praise be to God, the kindness he meets us with. Now go over to Proverbs. Now, as you take these things, you know what happens is you grow up. And that woman, that precious one, Esther, she grew up, praise God, into a virtuous woman. And listen to what it says of in Proverbs 31 and verse 26. It says, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Kindness. Those kind discussions. That wonderful grace that's, again, all from him. But praise be to God, she's a reservoir that just sucks it all up. Praise God. Just immersed in it. Hallelujah. Absorbing it all by grace. And then, hallelujah, it's squeezed out often and comes forth. And as he was singing about that precious oil, and we thank God how that is. Now, going back over to Ephesians, but let's go to chapter 2 and let's read about this precious kindness one more time. And in verse 7, this is to those that'll take all that kindness, hallelujah, of the Holy Ghost and his minister and growing up in it fully. And here we go, that in the ages to come he might shew, or the exceeding riches of his grace. And how's he going to show it? In his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now that better set the stage here really firm, secure, and very obvious. This kindness is very important. This tender-hearted, praise be to God, is a magnificent quality of the readied wife. Now, going back to our text today, what evidence God gives us about this true kindness? And you know what the evidence of true kindness is? It has the very forgiveness of Jesus Christ reigning. It's the forgiveness, brothers and sisters, that truly forgives as Christ forgives, and that actually is no remembrance of those things anymore. I heard one amen. Amen. It's the word of our Lord. It's our word, praise be to God. Now, the Lord is faithful. Do you know that? Yes, you do know that. And praise be to God, we know that because of the word. And the word is faithful to us. And in his faithfulness, you think about how the Lord gives us so many signs, brothers and sisters, that if we are ready for his coming, and he does. And you think about, he gives us signs in the world that he is ready. We're seeing these things come to pass, aren't we? We know he's ready. We know his appearing draws nigh. But are we paying attention and are we sincere if we are ready? If we are ready, the wife hath made herself ready. And are we sincere and are we paying attention? Do we see the signs in us that he is looking for? Huh? Amen. Examine yourself. Lord, search me. If there be any wicked way in me, huh? Know me. Okay, this is what the Word of God does. This is what the Word of God is doing. Praise be to God how the Word chastens our lives. Bottom line, brothers and sisters, is if we lack forgiveness toward any brother, if we lack forgiveness toward any brother, we lack the fullness of the love of God. It's the truth. There's things that are missing. There's things that are not full and overflowing. And it's missing the love of God. And that's where all the kindness and the tender heartedness comes from, is the love of Christ. And without the agape love toward all brethren, brothers and sisters, without the agape love toward all the brethren, there are roots of bitterness. There are things that we're holding back. There is animosity. Bottom line, again, we're slumbering at a time when he is about to appear. The Lord has been giving us some very, very personal sermons as of late. These are not from your pastor. This is not anything but the Lord who loves you. This is for me. This is for the body. This is for growth. This is for readying. This is not something that, well, close counts. It doesn't. This is a mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? That is what, by God's grace, is preached here. That we win him. Not get close. Not made a good effort. My goodness, brothers and sisters, the provision has already been given. The purpose has already been infused. Praise be to God and all the power to take it. As the word of the Lord said there about Esther, he just gave the things to her that already belonged to her. Little lords of all. Amen? Your father happens to be God. What didn't you get in that birth? Are you not blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ right now? Huh? If your father was Bill Gates, you'd be naturally a very wealthy person. Extremely. Amazingly. But we're talking God. What don't you have? You talk about a rhetorical question. Answer is very clear. You got it all. And then some. More and more and more. And in the ages to come, the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness to us. And more and more and more. Huh? All right. He got your attention. Praise God. See, it's high time to awake. And to listen to what the Spirit's testifying to of the power of his might. See, we think, brothers and sisters, that there's wrongs that have been done against us that are too great, too big, too hurtful to ever be delivered from. Well, let me tell you something. God has provided in his word and in the saints that nothing is too hard for God. Amen. We're going to take a little bit of time, a brief little journey, about a few instances, brothers and sisters, of triumphant forgiveness. And I want you to think first about the life of Joseph. I believe most of us know about that precious brother, There he was born to Jacob, had all of those brothers. What a precious time of fellowship. God had chosen that sweet family for a special purpose. You think about the word of the Lord that was ministered in that household. The rejoicing of the grandpa Isaac and that great-grandfather Abraham. What stories went forth. What remembrance of the great things God has done. And what great love permeated through that family. But yet jealousy came in. And hatred came in. And it was very much pointed towards Joseph. Yeah. Wasn't really flesh and blood. They're just fighting against God. Everybody was so interested in self. Well, wait a second. I'm pretty important too. Why is that guy getting all the attention? Huh? Come on now. God help us to take the glorious place he has for us in the body. If you're the second joint in the little teeny toe, that's a great place. It's an awesome place. It can get hurt because it's right out there on the end. But, you know, the Lord said he said those little places, oh, those are really precious to me. Huh? Oh, yeah. Just take what God gives you. And I mean, it's so wonderful. Just take what God gives you. Just take it. I did not want to be a pastor. I did it. I didn't want to do this. I thank God I took what he wanted me to have. Take it. It's so beautiful. It's so wonderful. And it's something it'll be the treasure of forever for you and the Lord. But, see, we think that these things are just too big, too hurtful. But see, Joseph here was a sweet young man. He loved the Lord. And he was shocked, I'm confident, when his brothers seized upon him and threw him in that pit. They sold him into slavery and they told his dad that he had died. If you really read that about all those things, that was the most hurtful thing to Joseph, really, is that they told his daddy because he knew what pain that would be to his dad. And his dad wanted to die. He did. He loved that son so much. Just like we love our children. And this sweet son, it hurt him so much. And all those years that he was in slavery and all those things that happened to him time and time again, it seemed like the Lord was starting to promote him and then bam, he was set back again. But it was never a setback. And he rejoiced in the Lord there in the very heart of Babylon. God was going to show a miracle of miracles. I do not need a hothouse. I'm going to raise up a man of God amongst all the heathen. Watch me. Watch this. The type of types in this precious Joseph. You talk about Christ and his wife, hallelujah, and how he has a Gentile bride. It all comes out in this precious story. And here was Joseph all those years. And I'm going to tell you, he had every right all those years to be planning how he was going to slowly kill each one of his brethren. We got movies like that. And we say, yeah, that's a good one. I like that stuff. Payback. But I'm going to tell you something. This brother had the very love of God. And all he thought about moment by moment by the grace of God was he wanted restoration with his brethren. He wanted to see them again. He wanted them to love him, and he wanted to love on them. And how do we know this? Because of the word of the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? And see, when he saw them, that's all that happened. He had to even remove himself the very first time because he didn't reveal himself to them right away. When they came into Egypt to buy the food because there was such a famine in the land, and God had promoted him to that place of second in command. He really was calling all the shots. Pharaoh was just a figurehead. All the brains of the Lord were in that little Jew. Praise the Lord. And he was giving forth all of that instruction that God had given him, all that wisdom that God had put into that life. Praise the Lord. In prison, in pits, in despair, in being a servant. My goodness, he didn't go to this college and that and this and that. He's been made unto us all wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. It's all there. Never doubt Him. Don't doubt Him. You got Him. Now, all Joseph wanted was to see Him. He had to remove himself from him when he saw him the first time because he had to go back and weep. He was so joyful to see him. He was so thankful to God. We've been united. But God had a plan in it. And so back and forth they went. Fearful all the way in a lot of things. But yet he'd give them more and more each and every time. You've got to go back and read this story. It's wonderful. He put things in their sack. They'd think that they were going to pay. He'd give them the money back and give them food. And then they'd go away and they'd open their packs. And they'd go, oh no, how'd this get in here? They're going to think we stole from them. You'll never steal from God. Double portion, 100-fold, let Him fill you up. And then back and forth they went, and back and forth they went. And finally He reveals Himself to them. And all He could do again, time and time again, He just hug them and weep on their shoulders and all that. And then they still didn't get it. What happens? Jacob dies years later. Matter of fact, 17 years after he'd been in there, then the brothers are all scared again. Oh, Dad's dead. We're dead. He's going to get us now. He was just kind to us because Daddy was around. Oh, no, honeys. And think of all the things that were done. They were given the best of the land, weren't they? Those dirty, rotten little scoundrels. They were given the best of the land. They were made the rulers over all of Pharaoh's cattle. That's the love of God. That's His forgiveness. Amen? That's not, well, I'll bring you in here and tolerate you. You can go piddle around over here. But don't you ever say anything or I'm going to remember. Huh? We're talking about the kings here, aren't we? Huh? Palm weavers do that kind of stuff. Do you understand that? Yeah. Bickering servants. But the kings, they rule and they reign. They have wisdom in love. They don't get caught up in the rudiment things, the beggarly elements. No. This is the prize stuff here. All right, so we got family covered, don't we? Ones that are really, really close. Praise God. Well, I'll tell you what about little sweet David? You know, he was the most loyal to King Saul there ever could have been. And Saul hated and was jealous of David. Isn't that amazing? Jealousy is crueler than the grave, isn't it? Watch it. God, again, he didn't leave us ignorant, did he, of the devil's devices? But I'll tell you what, David showed kindness to Saul even the more as Saul hated him more and more. As David was kind to him, Saul hated him more. And David was kinder and Saul hated him more. David had every right naturally to kill him. Yes, he did. God brought him right into his feet. Man, he even had his familiar friends telling him, kill him. We've been running too long. David, take his life, man. God did this. He's brought him in. He's laid his head right at your feet. Take him now. And David said, oh no, that's God's anointed. That's the Lord's. It's the Lord's. Amen. Come on. And praise God how the Lord kept David. And David submitted to God. And he would only do him good. And how sweet that was. It wasn't just love because of the position that Saul had. You know what the thing was all the time when different families were going to come into reigning. One thing that was very common that they would do, the family that was there before, kill every last one of them. Get rid of them. Make sure that there's no more seed that can pop up to come back again. You see that even happen. You saw that happen over in Russia so many century or so ago. They kill them all because they don't want them back. And there was David and his great love when Saul and all of his family was killed and he was running through the kingdom. Is there not one left of his family? Is there not one? Is there not one? And then they came to him, they said, oh, there is but one. Little Mephibosheth, that one that was lame when the maid ran with him as a baby. Oh, bring him in, bring him in. And he's going to sup at the king's table all the days of his life. Now that's love. That's not only forgiveness that we know. That's the forgiveness of God that doesn't remember anything but the glory of the Lord. That remembers Gethsemane that was sung about today. As Brother Ty was speaking of this morning in Philemon. How precious. How precious is the love of God. How mighty that love is and permeates in those that are ready. But David got a double portion even forgiveness, brothers and sisters. It didn't stop there with him. I believe David even received one of the ones that's the greatest of forgivenesses that we could ever have. David forgave himself. David forgave himself. All God's enabling. See, sometimes, brothers and sisters, when that can be a hard thing to do, when so much is given to us, so much expected, so much grace has been bestowed on your life, and you fail so miserably, and all you want to do is die. All you want to do is go away. All you want to do is, I don't want to be seen anymore. And that's exactly what the devil wants to do. He wants you to feel discarded. He wants you to feel in your feelings as opposed to living by faith. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Did you hear that? There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Huh? Oh, praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. I thank God for this precious brother. And how wonderful he took the grace of God. And he took that forgiveness that was for him too. And he rose up to be such a beautiful sacrifice to God. Finally, I want you to think about little Stephen. There he was against the enemies of enemies. There he was, this precious brother full of the Holy Ghost. And that yet those beasts there gnashing their teeth. Screaming blasphemies. All of the things against God. And they were stoning him. And all Stephen could say in his very last words were, Father, do not lay it to their charge. Man. Father, I'm coming. Take them out. Let's be honest. But here's the forgiveness of the Lord. He loves souls. He had the very love of God. And brothers and sisters, you know, we're talking about, well, I want to see a miracle. We'll go see a miracle. I mean, we're talking about not even a parting of a Red Sea. This is like the parting of the Pacific Ocean. These are the kings that reign. And they're in here. They're in here. So where does this leave us, huh? Well, I pray sober like never before. Come on now, we've heard this message for a long, long time. Long time. And it's not just a message, it's a proposal. And the wife's reading is one thing. It's the love of God. And it's perfect. And it works all the way through. It doesn't stop. It doesn't stagnate. It doesn't say, well, I'm not going to let it happen here. Brothers and sisters, where I hope we're at today is I hope and pray that if we're holding on to any root of bitterness against any brother or sister in Christ, right now you are feeling pretty puny. Right now, I pray to God, if you're holding it, you're feeling very sick to your stomach. Huh? Not one of us, brothers and sisters, has ventured into any of these magnitudes of wrongs. And what we've read here through every one of these, whether it was family or friends or enemies or yourself, forgive. Forgive. And I'm testifying of my own life because I know I was caught in this. Well, so-and-so said something about me some and some time ago. So-and-so did something to my family or to me some time ago. Is it worth holding on to that and missing God's best? I believe the Word of God says any root of bitterness. Brothers and sisters, oftentimes we hold the wrongs against us as our most prized possessions. And in closing, I'll tell you something. You might be able to fool the sons of men, but you'll never fool God. You will never fool Him. He knows your thought afar off. He knows the intents of your heart. And all I can do is encourage myself and you and the Lord today to listen to the Word of God and reckon it. Let Him add it up for you. And there's only one answer. If we're not kind and tender-hearted, if the evidence that we are not forgiving the brethren as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you, make no bones about it. I'll tell you something. When the trump sounds, you won't hear it. Amen. Amen. Don't care how much of this you know. Do you love Him? I mean, do you love Him? Well, then you love His body. And here's the body. And this isn't the only part of the body. Over town crossways there, and over that way, and over that way, and over that way, and go all over. How much are you going to hold on to, huh? He said, lay aside every weight. I want to fly out of here as soon as I can. How about you? I want the first flight out of here. I don't want to wait. One thing to be anxious for is just for His appearing. But I'm going to tell you something about her. She's like Him. She's like Him. She's like Him. Be healed. Ready to be healed? You know, by His stripes ye are healed. Well, I'll tell you what. As God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you, take the love. It's there. And don't look back. Leave it behind. Let's bow our heads. Jesus. Oh, Jesus, come in. Jesus.
Oh, children. To unroot the roots of bitterness that holds the giant tree up. It takes a flood of glory. Praise, mercy.
Praise God.
Take the Lord's correction. Apply it to your lives. And grow in grace.
Amen. Oh, yes. Thank you, God. And Lord, there it is. It is. It's that flood of grace and mercy and truth. Thank you, God. And Lord, thank you that you've washed us today in it. And Lord, thank you for the cleansing. And Lord, let us truly humble ourselves before you. God, don't let us draw back from this. Lord, don't let us harden in this. God, help us not truly to take things in a personal matter, in a sense. This is the spiritual. This is every good thing is from above. Thank you for the chastening. Help us to take it and receive it as sons and endure it. And oh my, what treasure comes forth. May it only be the gold, silver, and precious stone. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Song. Number 13 in the brown book. And he's ready to meet you. Don't care who's looking at you today as you come. Just come. Just as I am. Just as you are. Praise God. In the tenderness, he sought me. Amen.